in a biographical blurb concerning E.G. Krishnamurti's background. Depending on which biographical blurb you read about him, you know, the chronology and order of events can change. But that's just the whatchamacallit effect. Right?
No.
What did Darth Vader say to Luke in that first Star Wars film?
That's on tape, you can go and see.
No, change.
Not what you think.
The entire of recorded history changed.
That's well, what the effect. Like everyone thinks it's Luke, I am your father, right?
Yeah.
But if you watch the video, I think that's all we did.
Well, like I said, you can go back and check and see if you are wrong all along.
But the effect suggests that even the historical record, the archival historical record that one might recall from originally seeing the movie, has changed. That's the effect.
Yeah.
Which is like, what?
Too deep for me.
That's way deep.
Yeah, more likely it's like whisper down the lane. People are just,
yeah, it's too deep.
There's just no substance to anything, and we just...
Yeah, things just get worse and worse. So, in his alleged autobiographical record, he refers to a shift in consciousness as a calamitous event, the calamity.
Mm-hmm.
And in other places, he, or at least this recent read was, he referred to it as an endocrine event. Maybe he even used the word endo. Is there a word endocrinal? Endocrinal? Endocrinolostomy?
I don't know.
Yeah. But he used, you know, a biological terminology to refer to his calamity. And that came as a result of, as a young man, he said he actually hung out with or met with or spoke with Ramana Maharshi. So that goes, you know, back before the mid-50s, early 50s. Yeah. And I think Suzanne at one point had mentioned this quote that he said, you know, give me the moksha. Can you give me the moksha? And Ramana said, I can give it. Can you take it? And Yuji's response purportedly at the time was like, oh, these spiritual masters are useless. We're not going to find anything from them. So then he studied theosophy. He became Blavatskyized. And then through that, of course, early exposure to theosophy, you know, met and then hung out with for some number of years, J. Krishnamurti. And his form of blasphemy. So a similar kind of frustration occurred when he approached or insisted that J. Krishnamurti, you know, give him the truth behind all the blather. And it appeared that once again he was refused, a gift of transmutation. So he walked out, you know, of there. Left his family, and I don't know if that was, you know, wife or how many kids or something, but left his family and apparently wandered around Europe in a penniless condition. and went through the obligatory, you know, despair, the breakdown, right, of the seeking mind, the wandering mind, the unsought urgency of identification, and broke down. Then he had his endocrine event.
That was the end of the event.
That was it. That was the end.
What was the end of
the end endocrine event?
It was the end of cream event.
Endocrine.
He was cream free from then on. It was clear. Everyone could see it. Are you really end of cream? Oh, absolutely. At the end of cream event. Yes. So, what is the endocrine event? You know, now there's, you know, a lot of folks that will claim, perhaps legitimately, that they've had kundalini experiences or kundalini awakenings of all kinds and sizes. And then, of course, there's the vacillation that may accompany that if you're capable or able to recover from the kundalini event. There's the vacillation of being, you know, in a sanguine, enlightened, so-called condition, and then typical falls from grace, where you inhabit the notion of who you've taken yourself to be, and that can't be any fun. Well, then you have the you know, the fun body of teachings that talk about whatever the fuck, endocrine awakening, kundalini awakening, and then so-called integration. You know, like Adyashanti will refer to integration, and all kinds of teachers and systems will refer to and take your money, of course, to assist you with integration. You know, Andrew Cohen and his pals, Samuel Bonder and Ken Wilber and a few of those morons, will sell, you know, elaborate systems, whether it's Waking Down in Mutuality or other, yeah, I know, or other stuff that speak to, you know, how to deal with, cope with, cleanse, transcend your so-called shadow and your right psycho-emotional issues, and through various forms of cleansing and arduous pursuit. You know, like Andrew Cohen, you know, for the years that he was in vogue, berated everyone for being, you know, insufficiently committed to the task of enlightenment, and that's why they weren't enlightened, and so all of this shit goes on.
I think Adyashanti has a line like that too, where he's like,
"Yeah,
you want liberation, but look at your lifestyle."
Like, yeah, that's yeah. You can use more. Yes, you can use lifestyle shaming as a vehicle. You know, urgency, earnestness, seriousness, right? Demonstrations of devotion beyond reasonableness, all as leverage, right? You know, I mean, Sheila should have been enlightened. I mean, she, you know, bought gold weapons, salmonella, built an army, and, you know, told media to their face, tough titties. I mean, if anyone was demonstrating, you know, beyond the limits devotion to Bhagwan Rajneesh, it was her. So, I mean, she should have certainly won the golden ring.
Yeah, UG said that, like, it just straight up, like, fucked his body up. It was, like,
yeah.
Bed for, like, a week or something. And
Yeah. Right. And that's, you know, not uncommon. I mean, those stories also of having powerful endocrine, somatic, biologic, chemical fatigue issues are commonly reported. Yeah. You know, you don't know if those are essential, necessary symptoms or prerequisites for anything, but they are commonly reported.
Did Peter Brown report them? Nothing too crazy, I guess.
Well,
UG's level.
I mean, maybe catharsis that Peter Brown was experiencing were masked by recovering from radiation therapy for throat cancer. So it's hard to tell, you know, what was radiation fatigue, radiation blowout, and a willingness to perish from this earth because the one's will had been, you know, abolished, demolished. And what was, you know, Kundalini-esque, what was endocrine as contrasted with allopathic. I mean, during the number of years post his, you know, psychic or cosmic commiseration with, what's his name?
Kino
Tirola. Yeah. He was, you know, on and off bananas. Depending on who you talk to, you know, mostly on. So, you know, maybe those were also, you know, protracted symptoms of being cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Yeah. I think there's some useful takeaways from this, you know, body of so-called spiritual narrative. Typically, as we're engaged with the habit of mind and the habit of association, the habit of narrative, and the aspirations and bracing that accompany myself as a person, you know, with or without security or affection or a good job or the ability to make my car payments, or with or without, you know, enviable meditation experiences. That whole realm of, you know, self-association, acquisition consciousness, are occurring downstream of a more fundamental sense of identity that we rarely, if ever, take notice of. And so, because we fail to take notice of the, you know, underlayment, the rudiments of corporeal or animated identity, if we don't see it, don't sense the way that it's operating, then we can only dwell downstream of it in its symptoms. You know, so the malaise that afflicts humanity is the malaise of acquisitive or acquisition consciousness, which itself is a symptom of a more profound, subtle, call it endocrine orientation toward, right, body, mind, self, repeat. That could be why someone like Yuji would refer to a shift in that endocrine orientation, the orientation toward acquisition consciousness, as calamitous, as profound, as rocking his world and, you know, forcing him underground for a while. Because that endocrine event in that context was the snapping of, the release of, the crescendo, the collapse, you know, call it whatever you like, of the inertia of acquisition consciousness as, you know, body, mind, and self. For a while there, you know, Peter was fond of saying experiencing. Not that it was merely the repetition of the same word, right, three times.
Grammar to it.
Yeah, it had all this fun grammar to it. So what is this? Well, this is experiencing. And this experiencing is experiencing. And so that, you know, unicity is another fun metaphor for the endocrine event, post-endocrine event. So that the locus of self, body, mind, experience, acquisition, sensation, sentiment, story, you know, the whole pageantry of acquisition consciousness, collapses in an instant. As this experiencing wakes up to its own nature. Its nature, not your or my nature. Right? Yeah. And that can't be undone. You know, maybe if you have a kundalini awakening of some kind, you know, a stroke of whatever, maybe there can be, you know, temporary undoing or, you know, moments, if not months, if not even perhaps years, you know, of more blissful orientation toward the daily grind. But if the endocrine event takes you out, that can't be undone. You don't go back to, I'm the body, I'm the mind, I'm the story I tell myself, I'm the, you know, I'm acquisition consciousness.
What if there's like another body that's, you know, born in this place, like my like rebirth, or you have like a, you know, I slip to a coma and come out with like amnesia. Like, if you're deluded once, you should be deluded again then.
Hey, why not? You know? I mean, you can't. Yeah, why not? every impossibility becomes possible, and every possibility becomes impossible, and why not? Sure. Yeah. Why not? So the orientation then, one's orientation, fundamentally, you know, is a shift in identity from the presumption of self as acquisition consciousness to the closure of that presumption. And so this is whatever this is, and really who gives a fuck? Because there's no longer, right, that the urgency in mind or body or soma or emotion or whatever to dial this in for, you know, personal gain, personal safety, personal advantage. Because that is shot. The endocrine event took it out, burned it out.
why is it that every, like, enlightenment claimant is like, yeah, there's no going back, like, once you see that, you know, it's not a snake, it's a piece of rope, you know?
Yeah.
Like, couldn't you just like, another, like, more convincing piece of rope, like?
Yeah. In a relativistic point of view.
Yeah, just talking about appearances, you know?
Yeah.
Dreams.
Right, yeah. In a relativistic point of view, which, again, I would suggest as a bias, is a symptom of acquisition consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, everything, you know, is a rubber band. It can look back, yeah, it can snap back. So then, you know, I think the only thing one can do if one is living predominantly under the influence of acquisition consciousness is take, call it the sage's word for it. Right? Yeah, because you...
I mean, that is sort of like, I don't know, it's like disappointing, I guess, because like you like wake up like one day, like randomly, and you know, thinking you're a person. And
yeah.
The dude's like, no, nah, like, doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be all shitty. And it's like, you know, it's just like that, you know. Is that just like a temporary reprieve, you know, or if it just randomly becomes shitty again, you know?
Yeah.
I guess like, don't have any memory of past lives, so. Right. Remember it, just put me back in, make someone famous, we're all right.
That kind of steak. Yeah, I'll take the red pill. Yeah.
It's just the line.
Important or whatever, yeah.
I was going to put in that same damn line, but it's,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good line, yeah.
I just, yeah, just too irrelevant all the time.
Make me famous, man, the steak wouldn't be,
yeah,
the steak wouldn't be so bad, right.
The same one, yeah.
Yeah, same one.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm just going on the steak part.
Yeah. Well, it's shipping.
Luke, I am your father.
I thought you said, I have some Cheetos.
Yeah, that's right.
Father, I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a Cheeto.
Take the sage's word, yeah.
Now, yeah, I mean, what else?
I mean, I guess that they always say that there's like some, I mean, you even word too. I have to throw you in that generic crowd, but there's some other intelligence. There's some other intelligence that wakes up, so I guess if there, maybe there's some medium that I'm not really paying attention to.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah,
you know, as a product of acquisition consciousness, it's not possible to inhabit acquisition-free consciousness as acquisition consciousness, though we are capable of profound imaginative prowess.
Well, you see what I'm saying, because people like to use another metaphor that they use is like the screen metaphor, and you're like, oh, there's just some shit, but like, who's to say, like, another movie doesn't flick on, and then you're just some other asshole. Like,
it could be.
But a new movie's flicking on every, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm saying, like, what if you, like, become aware that it's on a movie, and you're like, like, you know, and then, like the moviness is, like, gone, but then, like, another movie starts. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, the only...
happens every night.
The only not problem or there is that we don't have a body of literature of persons to whom that has occurred.
So I guess if nobody says they've had a fall from grace, they'll say this probably won't be one in the future.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, really. You know, just, yeah. Unless we had, you know, a whole bunch of Ramanas and a whole bunch of anti-Ramanas, you know, saying, oh, yeah, I mean, I was the shit for, you know, 2 decades. I mean, I was like fucking Brahmin, dude. And then guess what? I woke up one day thinking I was going to go to the bank, you know, because
you
I just had a weekend.
About it because they wouldn't.
Yeah, they would never write it down. They'd never confess to it.
They wouldn't know. That's what he's saying.
This is probably people that have killed themselves, right? That would be able, they'd be able to suicide victim. Fuck it. We're done.
Most likely. I mean, if you, you know, if you got, I don't know, whether it would be 10 minutes or, you know, 10 days, you know, of Ryan free living, and then all of a sudden that dick showed up again, yeah, where would you go with it? Yeah, I mean, I would like
take myself out back to the
woods. Yeah, if there's not a suicide machine, I'm going to commit myself to building one and then get in it. Turn the nitrogen on.
But that happens all the time, too, and it happens, like, at night, you know, like you can go to sleep, theoretically. I mean, I don't know, I can apparently try to recall this, but it seems like I can go to sleep and have non-referential, whatever, you know, going on, and then wake up in a dream where I'm like, oh, it's just me dripping with some shitty alternate version of me.
That's
right. It's not even me in this whatever, and it's like, what, I don't know, and then I wake up and I'm back to whatever, so it's like...
Yeah. Streaming apparition.
Yeah.
Maybe the, you know, the glee of post-endocrinal non-referential consciousness is just to see it as, you know, streaming apparition, none of which is taken personally, seriously, about oneself. It's not possible to be threatened.
It doesn't matter if you're experiencing yourself as you or not.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't, right. Strange that it doesn't matter if you're experiencing yourself as you or not. Something meta, right, beyond the perimeters of acquisition consciousness has kicked in and said, Peekaboo, you're fucked. No. And, you know, that's what took Yuji's legs out from under him. What he did with it, you know, of course, was unique to his weird personality.
I like the stories about him and his wife. He's sitting there, like, laying, like, can't move, like, say, I'm dying. And he's like, after, like, the third or fourth day, she says, okay, then just die.
Yeah, that's right. Enough already. I can't take it anymore. Yeah,
three
just
days.
Die.
I would have been like that after, like, 1 hour. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, one
well,
hour.
I'm gonna
go out for pizza, and we'll see how it goes.
Here's a little bit of cyanide.
Right there. That's
again,
right.
If you happen to fall from grace, you know.
Yours is mushroom and pepperoni, or... Oh, you're not having any? Okay, fine. Uh-huh. A little stromboli while you're dying. A glass of wine. Now, it could turn out to be, you know, useful, whatever that might imply. If I tangle with the apparitional nature of referential or acquisition consciousness as myself, I'm just going to be in, you know, loops of misery, right? Loops of becoming, loops of anxiety and apprehension, loops of control, loops of wanting to break free from being someone's child, being someone's partner, you know, being an employee, having to have money. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, and those loops, the afflictive loops as the symptoms of referential or acquisition consciousness, or, you know, what we're seeing in the fake news, or, you know, anthropogenic climate disruption, or any other thing out there, like, you know, apparently strange kids shooting up high schools for fun and notoriety.
It's so insatiable, and it's just constant. I want this, you get it, I don't want it anymore, I want something. I mean, it's just constant.
Absolutely.
You don't know what the fuck you want, and nothing feels quite right, so you just keep...
Yeah, consuming. The somatic identification accompanying the emotional and mental association is insatiable. And so, you know, stuff and people and natural resources and food and movies and drugs repeat on and on. I mean, you know, more. What else you got? 2 seconds later, what else you got? And you know, of course, our addiction to the, you know, the handheld communication device. You know, I mean, look, right? Go anywhere, supermarkets and movie theaters and concerts and any public place and restaurants and stuff like that.
Feel special, like she doesn't know you're there at all. You're
and
like,
everyone is buried in.
You know, like,
everyone is
like,
buried
you could
be in
right
there.
Here, and she's like,
yeah, yeah. I'm not criticizing it, or I'm in as much as anybody else.
The way, yeah, like
yeah.
That's what I'm here to do all day. I mean,
yeah.
It's just a constant little work, too much work, not enough. This is, it's, yeah. just, it's never just right. It's just not going to ever be just right.
It's that Three Little Bears thing, right?
Yeah.
Goldilocks, right? And the three bears.
Yeah.
Baby bear tried to get, oh, this is just right. Yeah, that lasted. Maybe when we're sleeping for a brief time, depending on the quality of sleep, it's like, this is just right. Why is that? Because nothing is, because there's nothing's going on. You know, the habit of insatiability and, you know, data stimulation and entertainment is shut down. They're like, that's fucking great. As you drift off, right? Into non-referential sleep. It's a, you could imagine, just for fun, how difficult and challenging it might be for, you know, a post-endocrine human, right? Post-endocrine event human to try to communicate the, you know, bliss of constructive dissociation with an acquisition consciousness human. You know, hey, nice meeting you. Not easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank good the crowds aren't so large.
Yeah. When you're in kind of one, you just play to your strengths and then run.
Yeah. So all of this, not that it's anything at all, of course, in the way that it could be useful, have some utility on the you know, journey to endocrinal breakdown, is simply the you know, mirthful or humorous recognition that whatever is appearing in you as you, whatever matrices of reference are occurring, you just know without having to dissect them that it's all symptoms of acquisition consciousness. That's all. You're like, you know, as a holism, right? As a holographic appreciation, as a, call it a, you know, a practical quality of surrender, without surrendering anything. You know, you haven't given anything up, but you see, like, oh yeah, it's just me fooling myself without fatigue.
The ting is not even here when you recommend noticing, huh? Yeah. All that.
Tried to, yeah. That's right. And, yeah, I mean, you know, noticing used or dispatched in a skillful manner could be that. Could be the simple recognition effort. Effortless recognition that whatever it is that's appearing is, you know, an apparitional stream. The feed, it's an apparitional feed. And it, that could solicit or encourage a quality of, call it relaxation. Which could look like, you know, despair, impossibility. Right? But why not? Depends on the, let's say, accompanying attitude that comes with the observation that all is streaming apparition. For some, that could be like, whoa, that's trippy, man. And for others, it's, you know, sitting on a bench with effort. Not in a good way.
Yeah, that was an endocrine event.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting in it, to me, anyway, you know, as a kind of a amateur in all things, is to see the, you know, various ways that post-endocrine humans have shared, exploited, or built monasteries and institutions, right, around what there is to do or not do. I mean, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, post-endocrine kind of guy, built a, you know, worldwide prison of the Order of Interbeing, complete with all the Buddhist trappings, including the 5 mindfulness trainings or vows, and more seriously, the 13 mindfulness trainings or vows, as if, again, some form of constructive shaming would be advantageous to your enlightenment. And you, I mean, tick, fucking tick. If, my bias, if you are the enjoyer or non-enjoyer of a post-endocrine revelation, you've got to know that no amount of shaming or constructive behavioral vows, no matter what you call them, mindfulness trainings or blah, blah, blahs, you know, can have any impact at all, ever, I mean fucking ever, on whether you get closer to having an endocrine event of your own. There's just no link at all. I mean, none. So, you know, if you're a post-endocrine person and you create a worldwide institution of Buddhist belligerency and, you know, shaming, right? Body shaming, attitude shaming, you know, behavior shaming. What are you doing? I mean, what? What do? You know, my beautiful eyes. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. I am light as a flower. I am fluff as a dew. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm making progress now, man. I'm on the fast train to endocrine event. This, you know, the whole body of contemporary spiritualism, spirituality in the West or wherever, you know, well, it's kind of like a Rasputin thing.
Well, that guy.
Yeah. You know, or a, you know, a Gurdjieff thing. You're basically pulling the wool over everyone's eyes for entertainment, for fun, and, you know, for profit. The teaching, if there were one, you know, becomes, well, at least to my mind, deliciously terse. Like, is something happening in your experience? Don't believe it. It's not so much a neti-neti, really, as it is just a refusal to be an accomplice to anything and everything that's appearing, regardless of the, you know, outcome. That would be a, you know, defenseless.
Yes.
If I keep, you know, shoveling coal on the goober pile, and it's like flame on as goober. The goober won't give up. Flame on as goober.
That should be the next, I don't know, you have to Google search flaming goober. Mm-hmm. See what images come up.
I don't know.
Yeah, I might have to alter that search a little.
Become a flaming goober. Hey, how you? Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Flaming goober. What might it feel like to explore a vigilant though relaxed intimacy with streaming apparition? And be, you could say, free, progressively, let's say, free from, the myth that anything at all is happening. And the myth of temporality. Experience elapsing, refreshing and elapsing. Yeah. So there's such a call it a quality of intimacy or allowability, relaxation, various things you can call it. But here it is. It's always come on. Realization is, if there were one, it's got to be this. Now, in a deepening appreciation of that, kind of bias or approach, then the habit of, deferral, deferment, denial, explanation can, collapse. You're not a product of obeying the cosmology, right? Or obeying a set of methods or practices or purifications or things to do or not do. You're not a product of some kind of behavioral shaming. Come on, stop. Everyone's fucked up. Just leave it alone, man. There's no point in investing in 5 mindfulness trainings or 13 mindfulness trainings or vows of any kind for you to attempt to purify the trivial symptoms, right, of acquisition consciousness in hopes of making advantageous leaps towards an endocrine event. Come on. So, because any of that, of course, is going to be the reinforcement of acquisition consciousness, not the release from it. Because it's I, being of a certain nature, or proclivity, or indulgence, or addiction, right, will vow to the best of my ability from time to time, day to day, as I can consider it, to behave this way instead of that way. You're like, if anything is going to, put the pellets on the goober fire, it would be that. You want to ungoober this. You don't want to goober it up. You want to ungoober it. If that's working for you. So here this is. But it's hard for it to be a here or a this or an is. And if you can discover some, call it delay or spaciousness, right? Freedom from the reflex to anthropomorphize. Here this is, but there's neither here nor is. Or neither here nor this or is. completely stranger than here or this or this. The habit, the reflex of acquisition consciousness comes to rest. It's nice. You know, like, what if this were the first and the only and the last moment of your so-called life? That's fucking strange. This is the first, the only, and the last moment of your life, whatever that is, ongoingly.
Yeah, and then if you get out from under the whole life thing, it's like,
you're in trouble.
Fuck.
You're totally fucked.
Oh, it's weird because it's awesome and so disturbing, and like it's everything all at once.
It is
like,
disturbing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, you start. I mean, this, if there were, you know, a justification for doing what it is that we appear to do, it would be that, you know. Instead of waiting around, like wandering through Europe, penniless, sitting on park benches, you know, going through whatever, you know, kind of organic despair might be hunting you down, even though that's cool. You know, it worked for Yuji, so why not, you know?
Takes a while.
Yeah.
Has to be holding up quite a bit, it seems like.
Yeah.
Until you're finally like, okay. Well, that's what submission, you know, I mean, usually there's a little bit of healing.
Oh, gosh. So I'm just, you know, kind of an advocate, perhaps foolishly, most likely foolishly, of, well, just leading right into it. I mean, here, this is it. You know, this is the endocrine event. This is both the demonstration of streaming apparition, the urgency and tenacity of acquisition consciousness, and the collapse of all that in equal measure. The curious revelation, which is no revelation at all, of here this is. Without having to be here or this or is. Then, you know, you could maybe, if it was pleasing enough, just refuse the imagination of your life. Just for fun.
Yeah, there has to be, I mean, it has to be that feeling. It has to, you know, that's why you can't tell anybody, because you really have to feel it. And
oh, yeah.
Then you're like, it's a total, it's just a different.
Yeah.
Definitely not intellectual.
No. I mean, I don't know if Stephen Hawking got this, but that movie critic did. What's his name at the end of his life, right?
Roger Ebert.
Was it? Yeah.
Sounds good. Is that guy still alive?
No.
A different guy.
Siskel and
Suzanne
Ebert.
Suzanne would know.
Suzanne would know. Siskel and Ebert, but I think it was Ebert. He had cancer at the end of his life, and throat cancer, and he had all kinds of surgeries and stuff. But yeah, he had a post endocrine, you know, meltdown where he was like, "Honey, I mean, it's such a dream. I don't even know where to begin."
Yeah.
You're like, dude.
Dude.
You know, why don't you come and speak to the night sky sangha? Mm-hmm. You can't. He's dead.
Yeah.
We missed him. We've got Eshwan, but we missed Ebert. And that's it's another fun nuance of what might be referred to as noticing. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, in that way, you know, the singing is stereophonic or quadraphonic. Well, yeah, you see, whatever this might be, or whatever awareness could be said to be, has the capacity to, you know, acknowledge the intimacy of streaming apparition. That's a useful dispatch of noticing. And it's also quite capable of here, this is, as a texture of intimacy, of presence. And further, capable of, call it noticing, that here, this, there's no here, there's no this, there's no is.
Like here, like multiple channels, like how you went from the mono to the, like that's how we, you know, you only heard a certain kind of thing.
Yes, multiple channels. Yeah. So awareness, which is no thing at all, is, you know, multivalent, multi-channeled, multi-dimensional, perhaps, you know, whatever fun word you want to use. Both in the apparitional nature of context, content, and the apparitional nature of perceiving. And the endocrine event might deliver such a awesome shockwave to the apparent inertia of acquisition consciousness that, dude, your circuits are fried and you've gone multi-channel. And no longer self-referential by habit.
Or at least that's not on mono. It's not on like a mono, stereo, fucking repeat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Right. You know, in, you know, human acquisition culture, conformist reality, we are measured by and measure ourselves by and measure others by, you know, what's, let's say, spoken, what's done, what's believed, what's accomplished, what's built, what's committed to, what's sacrificed, right? All of the ways that we, let's just say, value ourselves or other people or, you know, the boss, the employer, the company, the nation state, the local, regional, national politic, right? I mean, our evaluative criteria are, well, they suck.
They're horrible.
It sucks because it's all the symptom of, narrowly focused, narcissistic, if not sociopathic, acquisition consciousness.
Like listening to Pink Floyd Money song on mono.
Okay.
Okay, might as well just turn it off. No.
Yeah.
No.
Right. Yeah, or only injecting heroin into one arm. Exactly. So, what's another kind of, you know, thrilling novel aspect of you know, multivalent, multi-channel noticing is, holy fuck, if I refrain from, or if the evaluative systems of human consciousness collapse, then holy shit, what if this were the first, the only, and the last moment of the imagination of my life? And I no longer harbored any kind of evaluative criteria toward, you know, anything. The planet, my stuff, right? My behavior, what I do and don't do. I mean, there's no longer the imposition of the myth of evaluative criteria. It doesn't necessarily.
You're not a person living in a world in time. Where the fuck are you going to go with that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nowhere to go, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you are starts to make a little more sense. If you were anywhere, wherever that is, you know, it's like, this will do.
Starts to make more sense than.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, you know, an incredibly, can we say, dynamic, disturbing, right, inarticulatable simplicity.
It's so bizarre. It's like, I mean, if someone asks you to try to explain this, you're like, oh, you know, I'm like floored. But it's like, it's just this, dude. It's just this fucking thing. It's like so simple. So in your face that it's like, I mean, maybe that's
when
you
say this, they like immediately think of something else.
I know. Maybe that's why it's so hard to describe, because if someone's in water and they're asking you what water is, you're like, fuck, this is going to be really difficult, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Especially since they have like crazy fucking stories about whatever it is they swim in. Like,
yes.
It's not even like just finding it. It's like you have this ship that's replaced it already automatically.
You know, as the, call them various leaves on a tree of referential or acquisition consciousness fall, including the evaluative systems and evaluative bias and the, you know, confounding nature of time and space and body and, you know, the whole vulgarity of civilization. The whole vulgarity of, you know, isms. As that, those leaves drop off, you know, I don't even know if you'll be safe at Hogwarts.
Nope. And they'll be like, yeah, but what about the magic wands?
Yeah, who's got the elder wand?
We can't put our wands down.
No.
You're crazy.
And this is this is the chaos, the confusion, the suffering, the acquisition, the apparitional, and the incomprehensible resolution of all that, which is no resolution at all. The, whatever consciousness might be, you know, in its capacity for self-reflection, I mean, it's nuanced beyond repair. So, You certainly don't want to sell mindfulness trainings. Or books or tapes. You know, our friend Paul Henderman makes, of course, some occasional reference to this. When he evokes the suggestion to entertain that you're not that. And what he means by that usually is after he's given everyone, you know, a fun view of how silly, right, selfing is, then the spiritual advice is entertain that you're not that. That's really his, you know, the profundity of his body of teaching in a nutshell, if there were a nutshell. Besides, you know, just the curious chaos of being around it. From a pedantic point of view, selfing is really fucked up, whether you're an addict or not, or a seeker, same thing. And here's all the funny ways that selfing is fucked up, haha, you know, you're a goober. And the punchline, you're a uber goober. The punchline to the whole thing is, you're not that. You know, Paul Henderman will forever be, I mean, I shouldn't even make the comparison. You know, he will forever be more popular and entertaining at this than I could ever hope to be. And so there is no comparison, and nor am I making one. But for fun, I like to take the thing a step further, which is, instead of leaving it hanging, which is to suggest entertaining that you're not that, well, here it is. This is, you're not that.
Takes that whole, like, human, like, you can do it kind of thing out of the equation.
Yeah.
Get kind of excited about the, like, yeah, you can do this too.
Yeah. Explore the in your face and up your sphincter present demonstration of, you know, trans-temporal communion. Here it is. Why not cultivate a constructive relationship with nothing at all while you're waiting patiently or impatiently for your own, you know, post-endocrine event? You know, why simply be passive? By now, whatever now is, you know, having read J. Krishnamurti, U. G. Krishnamurti, Nirsagadatta, Ramesh Balsekar, Wayne Lickerman, Peter fucking Brown, you know, Paul fucking Hederman, Pamela Wilson. I mean, I mildly scratched the surface, right? We could go through the Dzogchen people and the Chang Dynasty people and the Madame Blavatsky people. I mean, we can go through the, you know, the Akashic record, and you're like, oh, okay, sure. You know, what can you glean you know, from a sincere, arduous, painful study of all of this referential material, tapes and the books and the talks and the whole deal, it's like, dude, here this is. Just lean into it. Is that effortful? Not quite. Is it effortless? Not quite. Somewhere between effort and effortless is this unsought demonstration of streaming apparition. The multi-channelic nature of
the
noticing.
Multi-channel is like it can be completely inactive while being attentive. You know, they don't have, because they're not on the same, they don't have to be the same. You know, it's not all one.
Yeah.
You have multiple.
Yes.
You know. You just think of one, like, work, doing, active.
Right.
Active is a certain way. This is quiet.
Yeah.
This is not active.
Right.
But you can be completely sanguine, but still be active and indifferent.
Yeah, it turns out that vigilance is bliss. Not an act.
Yeah. But it's active in a strange
way. Oh, sure.
Way.
Yeah, I mean, euphoria is, you know, yeah. Euphoria and multi-channel sensitivities active. Yeah. I mean, even if this is a, you know, can be accused of being an academic approach, that's cool. Pour all the teachings into, you know, a coffee grinder. Make a cup of coffee. See how it tastes. It's a different or complementary approach than remaining, you know, under the influence of referential consciousness only.
Like getting out from under the
authoritarian. Oh, big time. Yeah.
Because most people are like,
yeah,
five layers deep at least in authority. You know what I mean? Because you're just talking about the authority
oh,
of
yeah.
yourself.
You're way down on the holodeck
yeah,
of authority.
That doesn't even.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, yes. Anarchic, right? Anarchic transcendence.
It's not demonstrative, so weird.
Right.
Not really,
it's,
I mean.
Right, it's perfectly demonstrative, but very easily hidden from view, hidden from sensuality, hidden from the myth of personal identity. Yeah. It's all it is, and yet it knows how to hide from itself, you know, better than I can trim my toenails.
And that's not saying much.
Because I can barely reach him these days.
Come up with a better metaphor than that.
And, sometimes they just don't work.
I know.
You know, you reach for them like you're, you know, doing improvisational comedy and it's like, sorry, that one didn't work. Let's try again.
It is funny because I could imagine a world where like only a few people are like busy, you know, trying to apprehend things, and most people are born and just not doing that. You know, so the other way around, where it's like most people are just trying to apprehend things.
Yes. Yeah.
We're just good at envisioning different worlds.
Mm. It would be a funny world where, like, most people are, like, just, you know, hanging out. And then it's just, like, one in a thousand people are just, like, super dickheads, like, fucking wrecking everything.
Yeah. Could you imagine walking?
Me and I'm just running around. You're like, oh god.
Imagine if you're like, you're one of the last unenlightened people on earth, and some little kid at the supermarket points at you. You know, mommy, is that him?
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, put your finger down, Bobby. Leave him alone. Yeah.
He's highly deluded.
Yeah, he's okay. Just take a few steps back from him. They're dangerous. They believe things, Bobby. You better just let's leave the store.
What yeah. do you do? Don't and, talk to it.
And they smell.
Yeah, because they're busy running around and stuff. So
yeah.
They
yeah.
sweat, anxiety.
They smell. You can smell them. Yeah. Yeah, they think that they're themselves. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. We let them run free these days. It's better than trying to lock them up.
These Blade Runners to go and hunt them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they get the Blade Runner to kill the Muggles. Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
That's everyone else sitting there sipping coffee, you know, hanging the fuck out. The Blade Runners are chasing these Muggles down the street. Dude, why are you chasing me? You believe in yourself. Yeah, another Muggle bites the dust.
This is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
You should give it to Kyle so he can put it together.
Kyle can put it together as a clown.
Did anybody
yeah.
say his movie?
No. You just no. sit around and stare at stuff in the background, smoke doobies, and drink coffee while everyone's yeah,
everyone's wearing clown. Everyone wears a clown outfit, yeah.
And you'd have to get one of the Muggles to be the Blade Runner, you know. Hunt yeah, like
you'd have
Muggle,
to.
You know? He, yeah. He's pretty much in line, you know.
Yeah.
Still, he thinks he's somebody. But
he's somebody.
Not
yeah, but he hunts for us.
He hunts for us.
They're loyal, and you can always find one that's loyal and docile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you believe in yourself, you can't wait to be loyal to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, Bhagwan had it going.
Yeah.
If you believe in yourself, you can't wait to be loyal to something. That's right.
Yes, she would.
She was the Blade Runner.
That's the problem, you know? Yeah. If you surround yourself, you know, by 50,000 people that are dying to be loyal to something, isn't that enough news? Get out.
Yeah.
Get out. You're like, wait, you guys are actually wearing red fucking clothes?
Yeah.
And doing dynamic meditation and, you know, various exotic therapies, and you're all doing this on my behalf? I mean, get out of here. So you can see there was a certain kind of, you know, messianic complicity in the whole thing that just wasn't right.
I didn't know it was the scale of 50,000 people.
Oh, it was a scale.
It was crazy.
It was a scale.
I thought they made a few thousand of the
cheese. Oh, no.
They built a city.
Yeah.
50,000 for something real.
Yeah, people were flocking in there. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
Must have sucked
within
his neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Not so much. You know, a lot of people in Antelope, right, sold their homes, right, for great prices. Got out of there.
Well, you're not a neighbor then, but
yeah. Yeah, you're no longer a neighbor. Yeah, you want to buy my house? Hey, thanks.
See ya.
Wear red. Jai Bhagwan. Well, that's what everyone did at Kripalu whenever, you know, Amrita Sai was walking around the building. Jai Bhagwan, Jai Bhagwan. If you didn't say Jai Bhagwan, you may as well go home. Okay. You know, and no one said, can we 86 on the Jai Bhagwan? There's nothing here to worship. But, you know, no, that's not how it went. It was like, oh, yeah, Jai Bhagwan. You know, how about 86 on the Jai Bhagwan? What are you doing? You're living in referential, right, apparitional consciousness. Therefore, you identify and self-validate through, right, some elaborate form of loyalty to the teaching, to the teacher, to the place, to the lineage, to the books, to the yoga practice, to the prana fucking yama, right, to the food, to the this. And, like, if you're a human being that is, you know, on the loyalty train, my Blade Runner is going to kill you. We don't see it. I mean, you know, Muji and his followers are just following that horrible loyalty model, that, you know, devotional, you know, Jamaican guy in an orange robe model that he's worthy and desirous, which is worse, of, you know, being worshipped.
He's got the look.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he sells that shit. Yeah. And you're like, Muji, you know, it's like 2018. We're all going to die soon. Cut it out. Just tell everyone to, you know, back off. Put on regular street clothes. Have a cup of coffee. Stop indulging in the frivolity and the stupidity, the exploitation of the loyalty model. This is consciousness. It can do anything it wants. It's really awesome. Get free. Don't practice loyalty. But he, you know, no. He wouldn't dare. What would it really look like, you know, for contemporary Homo sapien to be relieved of, right, other, loyalty, worship, the toxic tenacity that what all police states are made out of. Whether the police state is, you know, just me or some larger number of people. For civilization to wean itself from our subjugation. Now that would be interesting.
Appears to
have a long way to go. But, you know, just like UG, who had unscheduled endocrine event.
Right. Yeah. Maybe right after the anthropocene comes.
Yeah.
The endocrine.
Endocrine piscine. Endocrine piscine.
The endocene sounds
kind of
good.
The endocene. I like it. The epic. The endocene epic. Where all of humanity that survived the Anthropocene, not that there will be any, all become spontaneously enlightened.
After this one, it's
the endocene. Sweet. Yeah. So it's the end of the scene.
Endocene.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Endocene motherfucker.
And we're out.
And good night, chat. Back to you in the studio. Buddhism can fuck off. And the Hindus can fuck off. Wayne Lickerman trying to pretend not to be a symptom of neo-Advaitism. He can fuck off.
He's still alive?
Wayne?
Yeah.
Alive and well. Okay. I wish him well. And a long life, too.
And to fuck off?
I love him. He wrote in his monthly column, which he entitles Hello Loves.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's sick. But he gets away with it. Hello, my loves. He wrote this funny thing I think I will send it around. His first two paragraphs are like putting down in a humorous way I can't find the word. The neo-Advaitists, you know? And I'm not sure who he's referring to in that crowd. The toxic, you know, I think he might have used the word toxic or some slander. It was a very slanderous review of neo-Advaitists as if he weren't one of them. I was like, Wayne, you are that, man.
Oh,
he was pretending, you know, who is he referring to? Tony Parsons? You know, his own guru brother, Roger Castillo? And who was he referring to in the, you know, the toxic, weird neo-Advaita? Jim, what's his name, who's downstream of Tony Parsons, you know? Those kinds of things. Was that, you know, who he was talking? I don't know, maybe he was lumping in, Eckhart Tolle or Rupert Spira or whomever, you know? whatever. He was taking a really good dig, which I was proud of course, about these Neo-Advaitists, only to pretend that he, being the purveyor of the living teaching, was not that. That he stood somehow outside of that accusation. And you're like, what is this, Coles to Newcastle? Kettle calling the pot black? You know, I mean, it was just really kind of funny. He didn't volunteer and say, I am that. Instead, he was like, no, I am. This is the living teaching, where you can really get some mileage out of your spiritual search. It's like, fuck you, Wayne. I mean, but I do that with, you know, affection, of course. There was an omen. The last time I went to see him, which was, I think, around, when was that big hurricane there? We had the long power outage a couple of years back, right?
The hurricane?
This is, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that hurricane? Hurricane Sandy? Yeah, we were in California at the time. Went to Hermosa Beach, you know, to visit Wayne. I mean, I hadn't seen him in years. And, you know, I didn't make any mention or nothing, just, you know, sauntered in there with my tail between my legs and sat in the room and got fucking high as a kite, which I always did around him. You know, I mean, he's good at that. Why do you become popular in this business? You know, people get
that's
high as a fucking kite.
General, you know, you go see a good singer, you get high as a fucking kite. You go
Stevie Winwood.
Someone who can whip up a good energy, and it's like,
yeah.
All right. That's
so
cool, you know.
After we left, I didn't say anything to him. I was happy to be there. I was just, you know, like, God, this is a drug. You are a drug. Beth introduced herself to him to say hi and, you know, made some mention of me, and he was just kind of, You know, he didn't have any particular, you know, interest in, like, oh, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. It was, thankfully, he was just like, you know, ignore that asshole. Thank you so much. You have no idea. So then we went out for a drink down at the Redondo Beach Pier. Just me and Beth. And the omen was a seagull pecked a baby pigeon to death on an adjacent roof from where we were sitting there having a cocktail. I mean, you know, it took time. Bam, bam, bam. Just littered that bird.
Did he eat it? Why'd they kill him?
Seagulls kill pigeons, you know, because they can.
They don't eat him or anything?
I don't know. I don't think he ate him. No. Maybe it's just, you know.
It was that Blade Runner seagull.
Yeah, there was this town.
You were
this town is
pigeon.
No, so, yeah. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, so, I don't know if I want to go see that guy again.
God, he didn't seagull make the
fuck. But you know, even Ramesh's, you know, quite prodigious body of work. You know, writings and, you know, tapes and recordings and conversations. You know, it was way too thick. A lot of it was way too thick, of course, in elaborate non-dual cosmology. Wayne would refer to him as, you know, the greatest living Advaita master when he was alive. I don't know if he can still refer to him as the greatest living Advaita master. I don't think he refers to him as the greatest deceased Advaita master.
So it has to be one of Shankar, right? The first one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends
he's
on
like
your 10 pedigree.
Years old, shit.
It depends on your pedigree, yeah, how far back you're going to go. Yeah. You know, you can do, you know, alternate nostril breathing, or you can worship Patanjali, right? Why the fuck not? So even those teachings, you know, again, I would, you know, they stop short. They stop short, like where Paul Henderman says, you know, you're not that. Dude, why put the brakes on that you're not that? Why not just go directly into what this actually is? Instead of, you know, pretending to refuse something that wasn't sufficiently true to even merit. And, you know, fuck, why get hung up on duality here, non-duality? I mean, even those notions, you know, the ideas of duality and non-duality are so trivial, even in the hands of, you know, Shankaracharya, etc., etc. You're like, stop. This is the collapse of acquisitive, referential, acquisition consciousness. Those do not apply. You don't even have to be that good at it. You can suck at it. You can, you know, be absolutely amateurish, slobber all over the place. But to the extent that you're capable of giving the slightest amount of attention to how, you know, discontinuous and non-referential present experience actually is, you're good at it. You're like, yeah, you're plugged in. You don't need to make a claim. There's no claim. Your behavior doesn't have to be great, enviable.
Most likely it won't be.
Most likely it won't be. Yeah, it's you know, it's messy out here. It's messy in the, you know, the world, the myth of streaming apparition. You know, is there something to do? Is there something not to do? Yeah, like that's not on the table anymore. Is there something to do with what? On behalf of who? You know, is there something not to do? About what? On behalf of whom? Why not be the witness to the gradual cessation of personal consciousness? Why not? You know, tap in. Why isn't this conversation for most people?
not to throw him under the bus. My mother said she's always afraid it will just be her, the only one that shows up. So she's times and shows up, doesn't come. She's like,
that's enough for her not to come.
First it was just too cold, and now it's getting warmer. She's like,
I end up alone in a room with that weirdo. Fuck no.
Well, if it helps, let her know that if it turns out that it's just me and her, she can just excuse herself with no penalty. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's how mine is, man. It's crazy. Like, it'll get you before you even get out, get going. You've already, paralyzed, not doing that.
Yeah.
I've already created some kind of hell realm.
That's right. Hey, look, I don't want to be the only unglued person in the room. All right, no problem. Just leave. She always has a get out of jail free card.
Really? If she's at all
uncomfortable.
Thing kicks in.
Yeah.
Have to get out from under this weird kind of shit.
I tell her, Jeff is so fucking enlightened, you can just walk out of the room and warn them face him.
You could characterize it that way. Not that true. Maybe not even a little bit true.
He despises you regardless, so, you know, stay, you know, go, whatever. It's, you know, he's not going to like you, fuck.
Hey, look, you know, she's trippy. She's
all
a trippy gal.
All you have to do is get to the parking lot a little bit later, come like 10 minutes later. It's real simple.
Oh,
if his car is the only one there, you just drive it.
If all you see is a red car, just go home.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
When I showed up tonight, I was like, oh, shit, it's just me and Jeff.
Oh, Jesus.
I still went in, but I knew.
Reluctantly. Oh, no.
Oh, Beth could have been here, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah. She saw her just today.
Coming out?
Yeah, she will.
Too cold.
She doesn't want to come in case she's just here with just Kim also.
Oh, I'm worried that she's there all day. Not again.
Yeah.
She's got an excuse, actually.
Yeah, really.
And I would buy that excuse in her case.
No. Dude, you grate on me. I know you. You grate on me. All right, honey, you can go. When this isn't about anything, when there's some, you know, relief or release from the inertia or continuity of imagination, of self-imagination or self-celebration. It's kind of interesting, kind of nourishing. Not, right? Having some relaxation and release from processing present experience through the lens of self. Oh, yeah. This might be the best acid trip I've ever had.
I don't know if I'll go that far.
That's a little far, I know. I wanted to stretch it a little bit. Take a leap. Yeah, experiencing is a level of enthrallment that is incomprehensible for, you know, ordinary consciousness. Ordinary consciousness is marred by or marked by you know, a certain kind of insatiability, unsatisfiable insatiability.
I was going to say, for me, it's more like apprehending, failing to apprehend.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, because there's nothing to get, so no matter which way you put it, acquisition, apprehension, there's not actually anything to acquire, so of course it's going to be insatiable. Because
yeah.
It's like trying to acquire vapor. You're like, okay, good luck.
Yeah, that's the, you know, call it a major marker or symptom of acquisition consciousness, is darting insatiability. OCD insatiability.
Well, I found too, if I really try to like apprehend that apprehension, you can get some like wonky effects, if you will.
Yeah. Wonky, yeah. Right. Yeah. As the habit of subjectivity and objectivity, or object assignment, relaxes, then whoa, this is wonky.
And I'll find too, like after doing that, my mind would be like, okay, no more of that. Can't focus on that. Look away. Go in here. Doesn't just like tries to like distract itself. Like,
Yeah.
Don't look behind the curtain. Go. Get back. Do what you were doing before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It really is like this, like destabilizing or disorienting. Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the, you know, that's kind of like the perpetual dance or the perpetual handshake. Acquisition consciousness looks and feels, you know, runs and ruminates a certain way. And non-referential consciousness is a companion, truly companion reality, has a whole different, you know, feel, whole different texture. Yeah.
Completely different, and it can happen switch.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? It's
yeah. And, you know, maybe the post-endocrine event is that non-referential sensitivity, let's just say, remains in the forefront, right? Without even any effort. So remains in the forefront that the fondness for acquisition consciousness just melts away.
I want to be the first guy to get enlightened and then go back.
And go back.
Come back, like, it's not worth it. Turn around.
Yeah. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these guys, they've been lying to you.
There's nothing to see here. Do it. I mean, that'd be a real fun addition to the Akashic record. That guy actually woke up and then reneged.
He said, put me back.
Then reneged, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'll be on my yacht.
Yeah.
It's called Renee.
I love it. Yeah. I don't know if anyone will read the book, but you should write it. Yeah. I can't believe the guy had what was he thinking?
Hell and back, and then turned around right back into hell.
Right back into hell. Yeah. Yeah. Then came the Blade Runners. He's a muggle again. Take him out. Well, that's enough of that. Too much bliss. What did Jack Nicholson say? All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy.
I've never even seen The Shining. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. I hope it was...
it's real uplifting.
I hope it was nourishing for you. See you next time.
Yeah, I know.